First of all, I'd like to thank Reb Rafael Max for sponsoring last week's shiur, and Reb Yisrael Elin for sponsoring this week's shiur. In Parshas Chayesara, we're once again introduced to one of the most mysterious people in Chumash Bereishis, and that's Avram's servant, Eliezer. Avram sends Eliezer on the difficult task of finding a shidduch for his son. There's a tremendous arichas with Eliezer being the center of the story. Eliezer traveling and meeting Rivka and the whole back and forth and then meeting Lavan and Besuel and so on until Eliezer brought Rivka back to Yitzchak. After that, we don't hear that much from Eliezer anymore. Chazal point out that in this week's parasha, the story of Eliezer finding Rivka is repeated in full twice. It says the whole story, how he came to the well and he saw her and so on, the whole story. And then it says again that he repeated the story to Besuel, but instead of saying that he said what happened, it says again the whole thing that happened in his first person, you know, account of what happened. And this is not characteristic of a Torah that counts words. Our Torah does not have an extra word in it, does not have an extra letter in it. And suddenly we have a repetition of a whole account of what happened again. And on this Chazal say, Yafas Yichasan Shal Avdei Avais, the Sicha, the talking of the servants of the Avais is better Mitairasan Shal Banim than the Torah of the children. Because in the Torah of the children, we know there are such difficult and complex halachas that are hardly mentioned in the Torah. Like, there's no mention of 39 malachas in the Torah, except Beremez. There's whole mesechtas that are based on one pasuk in the Torah. Mesechta Chulin, Mesechta Nida. Mam is based on a few psukim, a few ramazim of a pasuk. Whole parshias in the Torah. And then when it comes to the discussion of Avram's slave, it says the whole thing about Richas twice. So Chazal say, Yafas Yichasan Shal Avdei Avos, the talking, the schmoozing of the Avdei Avos is better than the Torah of the children. It's not very flattering for us. So I want to try to understand exactly what this is trying to say. It's saying that Eliezer is better than Klal Yisrael. What is this trying to say? So whenever we try to understand something about someone in Chumash, we have to do what any person does who's studying a topic, and that's we have to gather information about that person. And to go through different parashiyos where that things are mentioned about that person, and to try to put them together to get some kind of picture. And we'll see that when we go through the psukim that mention Eliezer Eved Avram, a confusing picture emerges. So let's go back to Parashas Lech Lecha. I'm sorry, before Parashas Lech Lecha, this week's parasha. We'll start with this week's parasha. This week's parasha says that Avram called his servant Eliezer, Zakan Beisai, the elder of his home, sounds very prestigious, Hamayshal B'chol HaShaloi, who ruled over everything that was his. So it sounded like he was like the manager of Avram's whole estate, of Avram's whole, all Avram's possessions. He wasn't a lowly slave, he was a very, very chashev in Avram's estate. Chazal and the Gemara make this pasuk much more chashuv. On Zakan Beisai, we know that a zakin is usually refers to a Talmud Chacham or a tzaddik. So Chazal say Yoishev Yeshiva Isaya. He was learned in yeshivas. He sat in yeshiva. On Moishel B'chol Asherloi, that he ruled over everything that was Avram's. So there's two different Chazal and I explain that pasuk. One says Moishel B'tayras Rabbi, that he ruled over, he dominated over the Torah of his Rebbe. Imagine the Torah of Avram Avinu. We have no tfisa of what the Torah of Avram Avinu was. And Eliezer dominated the Torah of Avram Avinu. It says that Avram Avinu's Torah was Avram Avinu had hundreds of prakim on his Masechta Avodah Zarah. It says Avram Avinu had a complex, incredible Torah that led him to be Makir the Rabbeinu Shalom on his own and to reach all his Madregas. And that Avram Avinu's Torah, Eliezer was Moshel, he ruled over that Torah. We were saying Moshel, that means he was a master of Avram Avinu's Torah. And the second Chazal is no less astounding. It says, Moshel b'chol ha'shaloi, Moshel b'yitzroi k'moisei. He ruled over his Yetzirah like Avram did. Imagine. Eliezer Eved Avram was able to control his Yetzirah like Avram Avinu. In Parashas Lech Lecha, Avram Avinu goes to war with the four kings, and it says that he brings 318 men with him. And Rashi brings a medrash that the 318 men that he brought is not really 318 men, it's really one man. It's Eliezer. And the gematria of Eliezer, if you work out the numbers, the numeric value of Eliezer is 318. So when the pasuk says that Avram brought 318 men to battle, it's just a reference to Eliezer, who was equal to 318 men in his strength and his power. Again, tremendous godless of Eliezer. Shavu keneged Shin Yud Ches Anashim, 318 men. There's another interesting few psukim about Eliezer and Parshas Lech Lecha. The pasuk says like this: Hashem appears to Avram in a vision, b'machaze, in a vision, and he says, "Al tira Avram, don't be afraid, Avram. Anoichi magein lach, I will be a shield for you," which is the sherish of the bracha magein Avram. Anoichi magein lach, I will be a shield for you. Scharcha harbe ma'oid, your schar, your reward is very, very much. So we see from there, and Chazal understands from there, that Avram is a little bit concerned about his schar. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to appear to him and say, don't worry, al tira, don't be afraid, al tira Avram. Don't be afraid Avram, your reward is very, very much. Avram must have been a little bit fearful about his reward. Avram's reaction, like suddenly, like he seems like he's changing tracks. Avram says, Hashem Alikim, says to Hashem, Ma titein li, what will you give to me? Ve'anoichi hoylech hariri, I am going childless. Uben meshek beisi, and the one who's in charge of my home, hu damesek Eliezer, is Eliezer from Damesek. So, let's just try to understand what's happening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avram and says, don't worry, you have plenty of schar. So Avram responds, Eliezer is inheriting me. What is he saying? Rashi says a pshat. I want to, in light of this, of an understanding on Eliezer, say a little bit of a deeper pshat that's brought in the Sfarim. And over here also, there's an incredible Rashi. Damesek Eliezer. Rashi brings a chazal. Damesek is Dalet Mem Shin Kuf. Damesek. So Rashi says that it's a nutrikin of Doyle Umashke, that he knew how to draw and to give to drink. When you go to a well, you draw water, and then you could give to drink. That's to be Doyle Umashke. So it says that Eliezer was Doyle Umashke. He knew how to draw water and give to drink, Mitayras Rabbi, from the Torah of his Rebbe, Lacherim. So that means that Eliezer was a Rebbe. He knew how to teach Torah. That's on one hand, on one side of the scale. But on the other side, seems to be confusing. It says, and it's brought in Beremez and the Pasuk, and Chazal bring it out into the open, that Eliezer really wanted his daughter to marry Yitzchak. He thought that his daughter was a good shidduch for Yitzchak. He was disappointed that Avram sent him to find a shidduch for Yitzchak, because he wanted his daughter to marry Yitzchak. And Chazal say that Avram told him that my son can't marry your daughter. V'ni baruch, my son is blessed. V'ata arur, and you are cursed. V'ein arum is davek b'baruch, and a cursed can't connect with a blessed. What happened to all the madregas? Where did all the madregas go? The Dailo Mashka, the Meishel B'Tayrus Rabbi. What happened to all the madregas? And it seems to be almost an opposite chazal. Pirkei de Belozer says that Eliezer had kvitas haderech on the way back. In other words, it was through a miracle, he got back within one day. He got back to Yitzchak after he found Rivka. What was the purpose of this kvitas haderech? So Pirkei de Belozer says Hashem did not trust him to spend the night with Rivka. That doesn't sound like such a big tzaddik. Didn't trust him to spend the night with her. He wanted to be. He was afraid he would be miyached with her. He wanted it to be all during the daylight, and so much so that the Pirkei Avos goes through different precautions that they took after Rivka got to Eretz Yisrael. Even though they were just traveling by day, that Avram told Yitzchak, "This guy, I'm suspicious that he did averus, and he was worried that something happened to Rivka. I'm suspicious about." In Bavish such a lashon, it says, Ha'eved hazeh chashud al ha'averus. Avram told Yitzchak, this servant, it's possible, there's reason to suspect him for doing a sin. One second, he's teaching his master's Torah, he's Moshel b'chol ha'shalei, he understands all the Torah of his master, he's connected 318 men, and even when he travels with her during the day, Avram is concerned, he's chashud al ha'averus. How do we understand this? The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar goes even further to say, and this is something that most people don't know, that there's such a Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says that after Eliezer brought Rivka back to Yitzchak, Avram freed Eliezer, and he went on to become Oig Melech HaBashan. That's what the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says. Now this is a contradiction to other Divrei Chazal that Oig was alive then, that Oig is the one that warned Avram about light, and so on, but still we find a Medrash, the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar is a Medrash, that says that Eliezer went on to become Oig. Now Oig, as we know, went to war with Klal Yisrael a few generations later. He went to war against Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu had to kill him. So imagine, Klal Yisrael is going to war against a man who was a master of all of Avram Avinu's Torah. How do we put that together? How do we understand that? So the pshat is like this. Rav Tzadik writes in Tzidkas HaTzadik. Tzidkas HaTzadik is a sefer. It has a bunch of oisiyos. It starts in Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet, and it goes through some 300 paragraphs. And each one, there's some type of order behind it, but each one is just like different ideas about Yiddishkeit, different foundations about Yiddishkeit. And one of those foundations, one of those paragraphs, paragraph 86, Hey Vov, says like this: Kol mashehu mikinyan ha'adam, everything that a person has acquired. Ishtai, his wife, and he goes in order now, in descending order. His wife, Ubanov, and his sons, that's one category. Avdei v'amasai, his servants and his maidservants, that's a lower category. Shoirei v'chamoirei, his ox and his donkey, that's a lower category. Aholoi v'kaspoi v'zahavoi, his home, his silver and his gold, even a lower category, inanimate objects. V'chol ashalei, and everything that a person owns. Hakol hu mishayrish nafshay. It all comes from the root of his neshama. What does that mean? That means that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that this is starting from the top of the list to the bottom of the list, that this is the right wife, or this is the proper children, this is the right servant, this is the right car, this is the right money, this is the right home for a person, it's not a haphazard thing, it's not an arbitrary thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu picks exactly those things, those objects, and those people that have the most connection with him, that he can have the most effect on, that he could utilize to do what he's supposed to do in this world properly. Each thing that we have in this world, everything that we own, our neshama has an effect on, and has an effect on our neshama. Hakol mishayrish nafshay. He says, so whatever happens to a person and whatever the situation of a person is, it spills over to everything he owns. What does this mean? It sounds a little bit vague. So he gives a few examples. One example he says is a famous Gemara that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow averus to happen through the animals of a tzaddik. V'hemtan shel tzaddikim ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takola al yodam. If a tzaddik has an animal, the animal won't be able to do something that's wrong. And the Gemara in Chulin brings the story of Rav Pinchas ben Yair, that he brought it's a whole long story, but his animal, he was staying over somewhere, and they tried to feed his animal wouldn't eat. They tried to make the food even more tasty, his animal would not eat. And they discovered that the animal, Meiser wasn't yet taken from the animal, from the food, I'm sorry. Meiser wasn't yet taken from the food, wasn't yet fitting for animal consumption. So the animal wouldn't eat it. So Rav Tzadik says, is that a madrega of the animal, was a holy animal? Is that what it means? There's a holy animal, it was a Baal Musar, it was a chassid, this animal, it was a special animal, it was a smart, it was an intelligent animal? Of course not, it was an animal, like any animal. but it was the animal of Rav Pinchas ben Yair. It was Rav Pinchas ben Yair's animal. And the fact that it was owned by such a big tzaddik affected it. The kedusha, the holiness of the tzaddik, permeates everything that's part of his world. His home, his wife, his children, his possessions. The kedusha overflows from him. The holiness overflows from him and permeates everything that he comes in contact with. And his animal, which is his kinyan, which is his acquisition, is affected by his madrega. As soon as he would sell the animal, so then it would lose that. It would lose that full mila. Maybe it would still have a mila from having been affected, possibly, but it loses that point. It's not the kinyan of this person anymore. And he says another interesting thing. He says, we know that in the times of the Mabel, the animals were also destroyed because the animals were also mizana. The animals were also not faithful to their species. But it says that in the Teva, all the animals were faithful to their species. They didn't eat, as a matter of fact, it says they didn't reproduce in the Teva, the animals, except for the raven. So he says that's because as soon as all the animals, suddenly the animals went from becoming Rishon to Tzadikim. It's a funny tshuva movement in the animal kingdom. Suddenly, before the Mabel, all the animals are going crazy. They're Rishayim. They don't know how to stick to their species, which is an instinct that animals have. They come into the Teva. Suddenly, they're Fit Tzadikim. They do not reproduce the whole year of the Mabel. What happened? He says, before the Mabel, animals are owned by humanity. They're used by humans. They're there to serve humanity. Before the Mabel, the overwhelming majority of humans were Rishayim. So it spilled over to the animals. The animals were Rishayim. When they came into the Teva, they all came into the dominion of Noach. They all came under the control of Noach. Noach was a tzaddik. Under the control of Noach, all the animals acted differently. Like this Reb Tzaddik says, a person has an effect on his possessions. Now there's no doubt that this depends on the level of a person. For a person's possessions to be affected by his kedusha, it has to be such a penetrating holiness, such a real madrega. There's got to be nothing fake about that madrega. It has to be so real and so penetrating that it bursts out of him and just overflows into everything that he comes in contact with or that he owns. Lamashal. And this is within the person himself. Chazal say, Sichas chulin shel talmid chacham en tzarech talmud. The shmuzing, Sichas chulin, is talking about mundane things. When a talmud chacham talks about mundane things, is what to learn from it. You should learn from it. People who've hung around big talmid chacham sometimes say that they feel like they learn more when they hear the talmud chacham shmuze than when they hear the talmud chacham talk in learning. There's a lot to learn from hearing a talmud chacham shmuze. It bothers me sometimes when I come in contact with people that they don't want to spend the time by a Talmud Chacham, they don't want to sit by his table, or they don't want to shmooze with him because it's Bittul Torah. It's Bittul Torah. They want to learn. They're looking away from a Gemara. There's a certain aspect of learning, of Talmud, of learning from shmoozing with a certain type of person. There's what to gain from shmoozing with a certain type of person. So there's a story that I once heard that someone once went to a Talmud Chacham and shmoozed with him. And they shmoozed about a big variety of topics. And he went home. And over the next tkufa, over the next period of time, he realized that everything that Talmud Chacham said had a source somewhere in the Torah. This was a Rambam, and this was a Chazal, and this was a Gemara, and this was a Medrash. Everything had some kind of source in the Torah. So he was very, very amazed from that. So he went back to the Talmud Chacham. And he said, when you told me this, were you referring to this Rambam? And he said, yes, I was referring to that Rambam. And when you told me that, were you referring to this Gemara? Yes, I was referring to that Gemara. And when you told me the other thing, were you referring to that Medrash? Absolutely, I was referring to that Medrash. Amazing. So he went to a big Gadol, and he told the Gadol this story that happened to him with this Talmud Chacham. The Gadol says, that's not cool, Sichas Chulin Shel Talmid Chacham. That's cool that the person was learning, and he said it to you without saying the sources. Sichas chulin shel talmid chacham is when he's not referring to the Rambam, and he's not referring to the Gemara. He's just shmoozing. But he's so absorbed what the ratzon of the Torah, the ruach of the Torah, the spirit of the Torah, that even when he's just shmoozing, and he's not referring to this or to that, he's just shmoozing, just to shmooze. Still it's full of Torah, still it's full of the hashkafa of the Torah. And he told you, yes, I was referring to this, yes, I was referring to that. That's not the highest mile. The highest mile is if he would have said, oh, well, you're right, what I said is a Gemara. Oh, that's right. That what I said does work according to that Rambam. My instincts were reflected in the Torah. That's the full Madrega. Reb Tzadik writes somewhere, Sicha Nikra, Sicha, what's Sicha? We're talking about Sicha Schulen. What's Sicha? Sicha means talking. What type of talking is Sicha? Sicha Nikra, Dibur Kal, a light talking. Hayoytze Mipiv, that comes out of his mouth, Beloy Miskavin, without thinking. Everybody knows that sometimes you could talk to someone, and that offhand remark that they say tells you a lot about them. That offhand agav remark, that comment, that little joke, sometimes could be more revealing than the actual content of what they came to say. What people say instinctively, what people say without putting so much thought into it, sometimes is very, very revealing. That sicha schulna shetamid chachamim, that it's so, the Torah that the Talmud Chacham learned, so permeates every part of him, that even when he just shoots off his mouth, so to speak, it's full of valuable lessons, it's full of the correct hashkafa. His instincts are good. His instincts have been fine-tuned by the Torah. Eliezer was a descendant of Cham. Cham was cursed by Noach. He was cursed, he wasn't Aaron. And he was not on the Madrega that he himself generated holiness. He was not on that Madrega. When we say, when we talk about Eliezer's Madrega, we talk about how great Eliezer was, it's not a compliment to Eliezer. It's a compliment to Avram Avinu. The power of Avram's spirituality was so potent, was so strong, that his servant became a Talmud Chacham. It's not a compliment to Eliezer, it's a compliment to Avram. The Sfasemis says, the sun is so strong that the moon gives light. It's not a compliment to the moon, the light of the moon is a compliment to the sun. And if you look back at the Chazal, at the different things that we mentioned that they say about Eliezer, suddenly you hear it echoing in every word that Chazal say. It says that Avram Eliezer was Meishel v'Yitzray Kamoisa. He ruled over his Yetzer Hara like Avram. He was like Avram. Because Avram was this way, and he was Avram's servant. And Avram was so real and so full of spirituality that Avram's power to be in control of his Yetzer Hara spilled over onto Eliezer. Moishel b'Toyras Rabbi, he ruled over his Rebbe's Torah. Where's his own Torah? Does it say anything anywhere about Eliezer's Torah? No, Eliezer didn't have any Torah. And Reb Tzadik points this out. Eliezer didn't have his own Torah. He didn't teach his own Torah. He was Moishel b'Toyras Rabbi. He was so affected by Avram Avinu that he mastered Avram Avinu's Torah. But he couldn't generate his own. He was just affected. The other Chazal we mentioned, Doyle Umashke mitayras Rabbi la'achirim. He was able to draw and to give to drink from his Rebbe to others. He was able to be a proper conduit to pass along what his Rebbe said to others. But where's Eliezer's personality? Empty. There was a deficit there. Empty. Aru. He just had the power to be affected. We've all experienced being in the presence of a big Talmud Chacham, in the presence of a Gadol, that suddenly we feel like sometimes in a higher Madrega than we really are. Sometimes we're disappointed to find when we leave that situation of being in a holy place or in a holy, you know, next to a Talmud Chacham or a Tzaddik or a Gadol, someone like, oh, back down to earth. But we felt so high and so uplifted because sometimes the power of the Kedusha, of the personality, of the Torah, of a Talmud Chacham affects us, that it lifts us up. But sometimes we feel like when we walk away and it's not affecting us anymore, we can settle back down again. This is what it means. Yafasi chasen shal avdei avas yaisa miterasen shal banim. That the talking, the shmoozing, the siach, the shmoozing of the servants of the avos was better than the Torah of the children. It's not coming to say that there was something special about Eliezer. It's coming to show how great Avram Avinu was. Avram Avinu was so great, he was so powerful, that the way he affected his servants was even more powerful than the Torah of Klal Yisrael. It's the power of Avraham Avinu. It was such a potent strength of his Kedusha and his Torah that his servant's Torah, his servant's talking was special by Hashem. Just by having that relationship with Avraham Avinu, it was already special by Hashem. Eliezer was already special by Hashem. After Eliezer left Avraham Avinu, after he freed him, he sunk down again. He became a regular Ben Cham, Oid Melech HaBashan, causing all kinds of problems for Klal Yisrael. When he wasn't around Avraham Avinu anymore, it was all over. He wasn't around, he wasn't there to be Makabel, he wasn't there to receive the constant holiness from Avraham Avinu. He sunk back down again. And that's why Avraham Avinu told him, Bini Baruch, my son is blessed, Va'ata Aron, you are cursed. It's true, right now you're in a very high Madrega. Right now you know a lot of Torah. Right now you're in tremendous control of yourself and you sit and learn in yeshiva. But it's not coming from you, it's coming from me. And in order to make a shidduch with Klal Yisrael, you need to be able to generate your own kedusha. The imais, the mothers of Klal Yisrael, needed to be able to generate their own flavor into Klal Yisrael, not just to be receivers of the kedusha. They need to be able to give. The first thing that happened after Cham was Mevaza his father, is it says that Noach remembered Eisa Sherosa Le Benoi Hakatan. Noach remembered what his young son, his little son, Benoi Hakatan, what his little son did to him. His little son, so the Mefarshim on the Chumash say, it's a lashon of Bizayin. Like there's a pasuk in Navi that says, Katan is Saticha Bein HaUmais. Hashem tells Esav, I made you a katan bein ha'umais, that you're bazoi, you're mevuza, you're degraded, lowly. Mevuza, bazoi. So Esav should also like benoi hakatan, what his lowly son did to him. That was the first psak on Chum. Just like the son is called the Ma'ar Hagadol, the great light. And the sun is called the Ma'ar HaKatan, the smaller light. And we know that the smaller light of the sun is not just that it's smaller, but that it no longer can generate its own light. When the moon became small, it was no longer able to generate its own light. That's what happened when Chum was cursed. When Chum was cursed, he became B'nai HaKatan, he became the small sun. He could no longer generate his own light. He has to receive it from Shem. Eliezer has to receive it from Avram. Eliezer was keneged 318 men. 318 is the word siach. Sin is 300, yud is 10, ches is 8. The word siach, which is this schmoozing, is 318. Eliezer was like the siach of Avraham Avinu. Just like a Talmud Chacham, his sicha, his schmoozing, his siach, his talking. It doesn't have inherent kedusha. It just spills over from the person into his instinctive conversation, so to the mila, the beauty, the holiness of Eliezer wasn't from himself, but it had spilled over to Avram, Siach. It spilled over from Avram to also affect Eliezer. Avram Avinu realized, which is something that Chazal actually say happened, that even though Avraham Avinu made so many Baalei Tshuva, Avraham Avinu brought so many people close to Hashem, where are they all today? At some point, and everyone's growing up, it's suddenly like, you learn that Avraham Avinu was Makariv, and he taught people about Hashem and everything. Where'd they all go? Where are they all? They disappeared. The Medrash says that after Avraham passed away, Avraham was no longer being Mashpi, Avraham was no longer affecting them, they all went right back to their Avodah Zarah. When Avram realized that he wasn't giving them away, he wasn't able to give them away to generate their own closeness to Hashem. He wasn't able to do that for them. Then he was afraid. He was afraid. What kind of schar? What is he leaving in this world? So Hashem tells Avram, Al tira, don't be afraid. Schar chahar b'ma'ed, you have a lot of schar. So Avram replies with his fear. He says, we know that the rule is that if someone teaches his friend's son Torah, when someone has the schus to teach someone else's son Torah, it's like he's also his father. Someone who teaches a child Torah, even if it's not his son, it's like he's their father. So Avraham Avinu told Hashem, I'm childless. But I always considered myself a father anyway. Because I taught so many people Torah. I taught so many people about Hashem. So I am a father. But now I see that they're all going to go off the derech as soon as I die. All my work is going to go to nothing. So that's what he told us, the way the tzaddik learns, Anaychi haylech hariri, I'm going childless. Until now I thought I was a very, very big father. I have so many children. But now I see that they're all going to go off the derech. I'm childless. Uben meshek beisi, and you know who's in charge of my house? Uda meshek Eliezer. That's Eliezer, who only knows how to give my Torah. The person who's inheriting me is a person who only knows how to give over what I said, but he doesn't know how to generate his own Torah. That was part of Avram's complaint. And Hashem responded by promising him that he will have children who will be able to, Yitzchak and Yaakov and Shratim and every one of Klal Yisrael that has what to contribute on their own, that has something to contribute to Klal Yisrael. And that's a midah that you didn't have. That we're not Ara, we're Baruch. Baruch means that we could be mashpia, that we could affect. That means that when we become affected by things, that effect can remain. That effect can stay with us. We're not Eliezer Eved Avram, that when we walk away from Avram, we fall back down again. We're able, if we work hard enough, we're able to maintain a certain madrega, we're able to maintain a certain level. And the truth is that this is a nice explanation of Eliezer Eved Avram. It clears up a lot of things about Eliezer Eved Avram. But it's also a window into a very, very important role that we have in this world. There's a scary letter from the Alter von Kelm that he says, I'm not sure if he says it on his own or he brings it, I haven't seen it in a while. He says that when a person goes up to Shemayim, he says a person is going to have his heart, but he's not going to have his head. What does that mean? That means the difference between a person's heart and a person's head is that in a person's mind, he has all kinds of ideas, and he's idealistic, and he's all kinds of plans, and he understands so much, he's so philosophical, he understands so much, he's so deep. But sometimes it doesn't penetrate the heart, it doesn't become part of his reality, it doesn't become part of his instinct. It doesn't affect his sicha, it doesn't affect his ena miskavin. It doesn't affect what happens when he's not thinking. It doesn't really penetrate. And this is the job that we have, that our life, we say three times a day, our job in this world is viodato hayoim, and you should know today. You know it today. You have the idea today. But v'hashevaisa elavavecha, you have to bring it into your heart. It has to penetrate. It has to be pulsating within us. It has to be part of our reality. It has to be instinctive to us, our avodas Hashem. So how does a person do that? How does a person make his Yiddishkeit penetrate to become a reality that it could spill over? This is a very complicated inyan, but the one answer, the one word that's the fullest answer to this question is Musar. This question and this problem and this goal is the reason why Rabbi Yisrael Salanter started what we know as the Musar movement. This is, if you ever want to know what's behind the Musar movement, what's the goal of the Musar movement? The goal is, and you can find this in many makaris, the goal of it is not to teach me something I don't know, but to take what I know and to teach me how to make it a reality. Someone sent me from Eretz Yisrael recently a Sefer Zikaron that they put out from Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler is from the descendants, spiritual descendants of the Musar movement, and physical also. But Rav Dessler's Rebbe was the Talmud of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rav Dessler learned in his Rebbe's Rebbe was the Talmud of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rav Dessler was the Talmud in Kelm. Kelm was started by the Alter from Kelm, who was the Talmud of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And I just happened to notice as I was flipping through, they have different letters from Rav Dessler. They found new letters that they didn't know before. They have five halakim of Michtav Me'eliyo, and they suddenly found recently, 50 years after Rav Dessler passed away, hundreds of letters that are not yet printed, that they just printed. There's a short letter here. It's a Zis letter. It's a nice letter. He was obviously leaving Eretz Yisrael. I think he already lived in Eretz Yisrael then. And he was leaving, I think, to visit his children in America. So he writes a letter to the people in his yeshiva, probably in Panevish. Achai v'yedidi, my brothers and my friends, Maronon v'Rabonon, Chavurasa Kadisha, the Holy Chabura. Baruch Hashem, higati el hasfina l'chaim u'l'shalim. Baruch Hashem, I reached the boat, the ship, safely. V'im ki halohin in yoyme l'insoye, and even though now I'm ready to leave, I'm ready to travel away, levovi yege v'ruchi nimsheches aleichem ahuvim v'yikarim, I'm just thinking about you. I can't stop thinking about you, my close friends. Yehi hamokim v'sanchem, Hashem should help you. Then he writes a little personal note. It's very, very interesting. It's a short letter. Yomim eila shel hanesiyah. When a person's on the road, when a person's traveling, you can't learn so much, your regular schedule is suspended. Mesugolim ma'oi, they're very mesugol, they're very appropriate. L'chesh ben hanefesh, for a person to think about himself. Mi yitein, like halavai, he davens. V'hayisi ma'ayin b'moser karoi b'yomim eila, that I should be zeich in these days that I'm on the road, that I'm traveling, to be able to learn moser properly. And then he puts the key words, lo yirak b'seichel, not just in my mind. Ella, rather, ube'ikr, and mainly, belave in my heart. Here, Rav Dessler revealed, in one sense, he revealed the whole power of Musa. Then he says, omnam kasha ma'oid l'hoshevel halev, es advarim hapshutim ha'amitim. He says, it's very difficult to bring into my heart even simple things. It's very difficult to make even simple spiritual concepts a reality to us. The imkain. How will I succeed in letting even deeper things become part of my reality, penetrate my heart? He says, "No, aser loymar noyash. We're not allowed to give up. Giving up, he says, is not going to help at all. We have to keep at it, even though it's difficult. Shalom ubracha hatzlacha meruba. And he ends up with a lot of brachas. Sweet, such a sweet letter. I'm jealous of the Talmidim that got this letter. This is a Rashi Prakam. This is just the beginning. This is a tip of the iceberg. But it's such an important thing. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter held, and this is a universally accepted by Hasidim and Misnagdim, by Yeshivas, and by all Mahalachim of Torah, by Sfaradim and Ashkazim, is universally accepted that without Musar, every part of plaster will call it their own name. But without Musar, Hasidim will call it Hasidus. Every part of plaster will call it their own name, but without Musar, without the constant involvement in what we call Musar, I'll get to it in a second, it's impossible for a person to learn to penetrate, that it should penetrate. It doesn't happen by itself. It's a mistake to think it happens by itself. It doesn't happen by itself. So then what's Musar, and what am I supposed to do? And how do I start, and how do I understand what it means? And I thought Musar is just when you scream at someone, giving them Musar. How do I understand what Musar is? So it's not for the end of the shir. But there's one thing, just the beginning is that it's impossible. It's impossible to get somewhere without some type of short, consistent Seder and some type of Musar Sefer. And it's Baruch Shulchan Aruch. It's a Beferish Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says, Vitzarecha Adam, it's a Siman Aleph, a person has to, L'kveya le'ez, to be kveya, to set a time, L'ilmait sifrei Musar b'chol yoyim v'yoyim, to learn in Sfarim of Musar every single day, im ma'at v'im harbi, whether a lot, a little or a lot, ki kol ha'godol mechaveri, because whoever is bigger than his friend, yitzrei godol mimeno, his yetzahara, his evil inclination is even stronger. V'tavlin ha'yetzahara, and the way to get through to the way to the refuah, the healing from the yetzahara, Hu teichachas ma'amari chazal is the musar of the ma'amarim, of the words of chazal. So this is a just the beginning, this whole svarim about what musar represents and what it is and what the goal is. But this kulei amalei pligi, everybody agrees that to reach this madrega of having a person's Torah not just be a separate part of him, we criticize people. He's such a hypocrite, he learns the whole day and then he acts like this. He says, how could it be that someone who davens three times a day will do such and such and such? We ask these questions sometimes. The answer is there's no Musar, that's the answer. Musar is the knife, the tool that helps take the Ruchnias and penetrate it into his person's reality. The way to begin, the beginning is, and I'm not saying this on myself, I'm saying it from the Mishneh Berurah and from all the Baalei Musar, the way to begin is to find even the 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day consistent to learn either any sefer Mesilas Yesharim, Pirkei Avos, Chayvus Halavos, Shari Tshuva, any sefer, an English sefer, a Hebrew sefer, whatever it is, but some type of daily anchor that anchors me to the world of being close to Hashem. The shortest seder in the world could still have the most profound effect on a person over time. They say that the Chassam Sefer, we don't think the Chassam Sefer needed to learn Musar. They say that the Chassam Sefer used to say that if he didn't learn his few minutes of Musar in the morning, he said he felt cold the whole day. Felt cold, he had a chill the whole day. He didn't have that warmth, that aliveness in his Avodas Hashem. So when we learn about Eliezer Eved Avram, we're seeing the person who could be very affected by Ruchnias, but who walks away and it falls away. We have to become like Avram Avinu, whose Kedusha is so strong that it affects every other part of his life, that it does, it penetrates even to his Kinyanim, even to his servants, and even to everything that he owns.